If I had a text for this morning, it appears twice. Whilst we didn't have the reading from 1 Samuel, if I may just refer you to have a look at that later, in chapter 16, verse 7, we read that the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And in our, as Ken rightly said, our complex reading from 2 Corinthians, in verse 12, we read, we pray that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. So it's a question of whether we glory in outward show or inward grace. I hope we are all happy as we are, happy as God has made us. Because if we pretend to be something we are not, we are living in a virtual reality, investing emotional energy, perhaps in keeping up appearances, which may be the subtitle of this morning's sermon. How do others see us? Do we worry about their opinions? Do we live a charade like Hyacinth Bucket or Hyacinth Bouquet, if you followed that wonderful comedy series showing such irony to our social graces? If we accept the inner me, the inner you, that is the true reality. And that true reality goes everywhere with us. It's an absolute standard defined by our relationship with God. And it offsets against the relative standard of that virtual reality which looks at the judgment of the world. And if we are truly grateful for who God has made us, and you might like to look in your own time at Psalm 139, that wonderful psalm that describes how God knows us deeply and he will never depart from us. This tension between the inner reality with which we strive to live and that virtual reality that the world imposes is a true tension that we have to learn to live with. As Paul says at the beginning of this piece, he talks about us being at home with the Lord, living in accordance to the coming kingdom, or subject to the world's values, at home in the body. We have, of course, to do both. We have to keep a well-balanced hope for the future. Paul also introduces this thought of walking by faith, for that is how we know God. And then in the future, we will see him face to face. We walk by faith, not by sight. And by walking by faith, we make different decisions on our lives rather than being influenced by what we have around us in the world. And there are a number of dissonances and imbalances between these realities that we could explore at some length. But just to summarize a couple of them, love of God and Christ and pleasing him against love of self and pleasing ourselves. Considering how things will be, looking at the kingdom against how things are or appear to be in their outward sense. And there's that sense that by living in the true reality, we see things in a different perspective. I studied engineering, and one of the things that I enjoyed was looking at mapping, and you could work out heights of buildings because by looking at two slightly offset photographs through a stereoscope, you actually could get a 3D image and you could measure the heights of structures rather than seeing the world as flat. So by taking a slightly offset perspective, we can see things in a different way, more live, more vibrant, because we're seeing things through that mind of Christ. And if you take the sheet away with you and have a look through this passage, you may find other comparisons that you might like to explore. And while we haven't read the passage from 1 Samuel, I'd just like to make a couple of references to it. Again, please do take the piece away with you, because it's relevant to how we look ahead at things. Samuel was responding to God's leading. In chapter 16, verse 3, he is responding to God's leading, who says, "I will show you what you shall do. God has a plan." Wouldn't it be lovely if he revealed that to us on a plate? Well, in a sense he does, because he works through each of us. And as we talk about how God is working in our lives, that is him revealing his plan to us, which he wants us to adopt for our own. And God hears our pleas and our requests and our petitions, and he instructs us and he acts in our lives. And in this case, verse 13 at the end of that piece, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. So God came and worked in David's life once he had been identified as the chosen one by God. And that was Samuel's purpose. He was here to identify God's anointed king. But he had to look beyond the physical characteristics and the behaviours. And in the end, he was led to see beyond the sallow youth to the person that God was setting out David to be. Paul's purpose, reverting back to 2 Corinthians, is to challenge those interested in outward show, but not in that inward reality of integrity and honesty. So both Samuel and Paul are urging us to look beyond the external appearances. To the externalist, someone wrote, "Superficial appearances were everything, and sincerity of heart counted for nothing." And the challenge to us as Christians is to live in a way where we see beyond, we see through those external appearances, so that we count sincerity of heart as everything. Paul was defending his own integrity as a true apostle against those who were selling the good news. He was criticized because others were comparing him to these super apostles, who were essentially telling people what they wanted to hear rather than what God wanted. And of course, Paul's perspective over his life, he didn't just move from here to here. He moved right over there, because he moved from persecuting the followers of Jesus, this new creed of Christians, to witnessing and giving up his own life for Christ. This complex passage also leads on in the next verse to talk about our being reconciled with God. And I would urge you to take this away and discover this in your own Bibles, to read on to the end of chapter 5. All this is from God, all this that we've been looking at, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation with God and reconciliation with one another. So, think about what we do about keeping up appearances. God knows us. He sees us and knows our hearts intimately. He knows the inner core of our being. So we're urged to not to pretend to be what we are not, but to rejoice in who God has made us in our being. Not to hide who and what we are, but to be honest about ourselves and to be honest to God. And to seek out that spiritual center that may be obscured by the external facade we might put on. We might put on a facade, an image of being totally self-confident, when in fact God knows our weakness and wants us to put our trust in him. He wants us to be transformed into the person he calls each of us to be. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." In Samuel, God's working from small beginnings. David, the young shepherd boy chosen by God, he had no heritage of kingly line. He had no expectation of being called to serve God. But by Samuel responding with integrity to the call placed on him, then we see this action leading to a great work for God. God continues to work in small steps. He works in small steps in each of our lives. And our gospel illustrates this, where the scattering of a tiny seed grows in secret. It takes root and grows in its own time. This parable is an extended simile of how God's kingdom works. It's not by human intervention that the seed grows. It's by God's grace. And that growing seed indicates that growth within our own lives, that growth of resurrection and restoration. It's a natural process that God wants to work in each of us in those small steps. As we move slowly, perhaps imperceptibly, into God's reality. Our ministry and our witness here in this village, in our communities where we live, where we work, is also a potential great work from small beginnings. Our witness, as Paul writes in verse 11, is knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. We try to witness and testify in our lives through our faith and our love for others to see the true, not the virtual reality. And in our moving on to this work, we need to acknowledge the importance of prayer. Prayer and planning, in my dictionary, go very closely together. We cannot plan on our own. We need to seek God's help and grace. And the PCC has already begun to identify some steps how we can develop our vision and our strategy to ensure that we are showing our integrity to the call God has placed on our lives. And I offer an invitation once a month for us, as many as wish to meet with me for a prayer breakfast at the rectory for an hour from 8:30 to 9:30, so that we can, on the second Saturday of the month, pray about God's plan and purpose for us. If you all want to come, then we'll come here. That would be fantastic. But let's start with small beginnings and believe that God will move us to seek his wisdom, his purpose for this community in prayer. We need to be thinking ahead. And one way in which we can contribute to that, in 3 weeks' time, there is a minister who is on sabbatical who is carrying out a doctorate. I've met with her, and she's asking questions about the importance of there being a minister within a village or a residential area. And what she is interested on is hearing your views. So on the 8th of July, Sue Birchall is inviting anybody who wishes to. We'll arrange for her to meet with you after the service to share a conversation about how you see the role of a resident minister within this community. She is researching the significance of a minister being resident in the parish. And of course, we hope that our community, our parish, will continue to flourish so that that continues to be. And in order to pursue God's plan over this summer, I ask you, as we pray, to consider how we are using our time and our talents, how we can attract more people to come and discover the true reality of God through the message that we offer, through the medium with which we present that message. And so, as we consider God's work, in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians, we see that everything in Christ has become new. There is a new order started with Jesus' death and resurrection, but it's ongoing, it's not yet complete. And part of that ongoing work is that tension between those two realities that I've highlighted. Are we living according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? Are our lives dictated by the Spirit's work within us? So as I close, I pray that we may have a clarity of vision of God's plan and purpose for us individually and for us as a community. That we may gain a sense and an understanding of where he wants to take us. And as we celebrate together around the Lord's table, we remember that he died for each one of us. And it is him who we meet around his table. We gather in his presence and we seek to live for him and not for ourselves. And it's this that we need to remember as we are united around the sacrament to share in the bread and the wine.